Manavi, O daughter of Manu, Te, your Garbham, womb, Pravishta, has entered. Kaitabha Ardhana, the killer of the demon Kaitabha. Avijja, of ignorance. Sangshaya, and of doubt. Grantim, the knot. Chitta, cutting off. Gam, the world. Vicharishyati, he will travel over. Translation. Lord Brahma then told Devahuti, my dear daughter of Manu, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who killed the demon Kaitabha is now within your womb. He will cut off all the knots of your ignorance and doubt. Then he will travel all over the world. Here the word avijja is very significant. Avijja means forgetfulness of one's identity. Every one of us is a spirit soul, but we have forgotten. We think, I am this body. This is called avijja. Samshaya granti means doubtfulness. The knot of doubtfulness is tied when the soul identifies with the material world. That knot is also called ahankara, the junction of matter and spirit. By proper knowledge received from scriptures in disciplic succession, and by proper application of that knowledge, one can free himself from this binding combination of matter and spirit. Brahma assures Devahuti that her son will enlighten her, and after enlightening her, he will travel all over the world distributing the system of Sankhya philosophy. The word sangshaya means doubtful knowledge. Speculative and pseudo-yogic knowledge is all doubtful. At the present moment, the so-called yoga system is prosecuted on the understanding that by agitation of the different stations of the bodily construction, one can find that he is God. The mental speculators think similarly, but they are all doubtful. Real knowledge is expounded in Bhagavad Gita. Just become Krishna conscious. Just worship Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna. That is real knowledge. And anyone who follows that system becomes perfect without a doubt. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are in the middle of a scene of great sensitivity, a scene of discipline, and a scene for both individual personal upliftment and the upliftment of the whole world. That is why Lord Brahma is here. He's present upon the appearance of Kapila Muni because Lord Brahma knows what's going on, both on the cosmological scale and on the local individual level. He's instructing Devahuti, Manavi, O daughter of Manu. In civilization, in real civilization, you always refer to a person in terms of their family and the good things they've done. Because in a real civilization, families are intact, and indeed, many families are meritorious enough that you want to refer to the person as a upstanding member of a particular upstanding family. It's like Bharatarshava, O best of the Bharata dynasty. Manavi, O daughter of Manu. These days, of course, what is the qualification for anyone? The 12th canto of Bhagavatam explains, the qualification comes to you when you have money. Then everything is accepted as being high class, first class. In a real human civilization, as you know, the family is glorified because of its pious activities and especially because of the bhakti rendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Brahma is saying, Manavi, this is what's going to happen. You know, that same Supreme Personality of Godhead who killed the demon Kaitabha Arjuna. He's referring to Krishna's previous activities. You know about this. That same Supreme Lord who already did what you knew he did, he killed Kaitabha. Now he's within your womb. And what is he going to do? He's going to cut off all the knots of your ignorance and doubt, and then he's going to travel all over the world. This is Brahma's skillful presentation. You already know what the Supreme Personality of God has done. And you are the daughter of Manu. You're not an ordinary person. So this is the extraordinary combination that we have now. You as the daughter of Manu, and there's Kardama Muni, and then there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your womb. And this is what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to do. These are the ways to recognize a bona fide avatar of the Lord. The Sarupa Lakshana and the Tatastha Lakshana, the essential characteristics of body form. Brahma already described the Lord will have golden hair, he'll have lotus eyes. And now Brahma is elaborating upon the Tatastha Lakshana, the marginal characteristics of the incarnation. What's he going to do? He's going to, first of all, cut off your ignorance and then travel all over the world distributing Sankhya knowledge. Sankhya knowledge means to understand what is this world, what are its components, and who is the root of this world. How it is that Krishna is simultaneously one with everything and different. That is the great mystery that the Lord himself speaks of in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagaravyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshu avashtita. I'm everywhere, but then again I'm not everywhere. Everything rests upon my energy, but then again I'm not there. This sounds like word jugglery, but no. This is Krishna explaining the mystical reality of how things are one with him and yet different from him. Lord Chaitanya also distributed Sankhya knowledge. How did Lord Chaitanya do it? By distributing the holy name of Krishna. When we properly chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we're able to perceive, as Srila Prabhupada said, everything in this world as diverse extensions of the Lord's energy. In other words, although people today do not have the intelligence to grasp all the intricacies of very ingenious Sankhya philosophy, they can get the same result by properly honoring the holy name of the Lord. Then they'll get the vision to see this mystical paradox of how Krishna is everything and then not everything at the same time. Otherwise, you may read that verse in the Gita year after year and not be in tune to the treasure house of the transcendental reality contained in that verse. And after a while, if your service slackens, if your chanting slackens, you may just start to unconsciously dismiss this paradox as just some kind of Eastern word jugglery, like a Zen cone or something. So it's very necessary for us to understand what Lord Chaitanya has done. He's giving what Kapila Dev gave via the Hare Krishna mantra, in which your vision changes, and then you can see. Now, Lord Brahma is personally guaranteeing this to Devahuti. My dear Manavi, it's going to happen. Devahuti, as you know, was feeling a bit insecure that her husband was about to leave. We discussed that the other day. Not that she wanted to keep him at home, but she's thinking, I was attached to you emotionally, well and good, but I didn't get the benefit of transcendental knowledge from you. Therefore, we have to make some kind of arrangement. There had been 9 daughters born. She wanted some way that she could attain enlightenment. So Kapila Muni appeared within her womb. to not only enlighten her, but to enlighten the whole world. Brahma knows the mystery of the Lord's appearance in the womb of Devahuti. What is so improper about the Lord appearing in the womb of Devahuti? He's a supreme personality of Godhead. He's everywhere, so he can manifest from wood, stone, as you see in the deity. He can manifest in the womb. He's everywhere. He can manifest in the semen of Kardama Muni. He can manifest in the womb of Devahuti. Or he can manifest in the consciousness of Vasudeva and then transfer himself to the consciousness of Devahuti. This is all so easy for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everywhere anyway. It's just a question of manifesting himself. Krishna is especially present in the holy dhams. And at certain times, he makes that presence more known to everyone, but he's eternally present there. This is the mystery of omnipotence. When people say God is omnipotent, they really don't know the full purport of that. Most people think that God is omnipotent means he's all-powerful in terms of creation, destruction, or maintaining the living entities with their food. But the proper depths of the word omnipotent in reference to God means he can appear from anywhere. If you say God cannot appear from here, he cannot appear from there, then how can you say God is omnipotent? He can appear from the womb of Devahuti. He can appear from the consciousness of Vasudeva. He can appear as the deity. Some will see stone. Some will see metal. But the devotee sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the true understanding of how God is omnipotent. Brahma understands all these mysteries. You may remember in the 13th chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Brahma offers prayers to the Lord after going through the Brahma Vimohana Leela, the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. So he prays to the Lord, just see what's going on. You contain the whole universe within you. Yet, you're appearing within the universe. How amazing is this? When Mother Yashoda opened your mouth and looked in, she saw the whole universe inside of you. Yet, you're inside the universe. How extraordinary is this? Prabhupada explains that. For example, you'll say, the pot is within the house. But how can you say that that same house is also within the pot? But this is what Krishna has done. All the universes are contained within him, yet he appears within the universe. Lord Brahma is noting that amazing feat of Krishna's mystic power. And Lord Brahma's conclusion is, you just have to accept that Krishna has inconceivable ways of doing things. So much so that Brahma said, everyone may talk about how they know Krishna. They know all about Krishna. I won't sign on to that. As far as I'm concerned, everything about Krishna is beyond my mind, body, and words. The ultimate opulence that Lord Brahma was amazed by was Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. He was astonished at the extraordinary fortune of the residents of Vrindavan. A few nights ago, we were talking about bhagya, good fortune. What is good fortune like in your life? Everyone would like to have moments of good fortune, if not a fortunate life entirely, which most people admit is not possible in the material world. But just give me a few moments of good fortune. Yes, that was good, what happened to me. Everyone would like to feel like that. So what actually is good fortune? Brahma knows what good fortune is. He's thinking, especially after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, I can't understand this great fortune of the Brijavasis. First of all, what did he refer to? The Go Gopi Stanyamrita. How it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead drank the nectarian milk from the cows of Vrindavan and the elder gopis of Vrindavan. They all wanted Krishna as their son. The other gopis, besides Mother Yashoda, they were thinking, if Krishna was my son, I would be just as affectionate to him as Mother Yashoda. So Krishna gave them that chance via Lord Brahma's tampering. As you know, Krishna became every gopi's son and every cow's calf to replace those that had apparently been taken by Lord Brahma. So Balaram was watching the whole scene. How, Balaram noted, the mothers were loving their sons and the cows were loving their calves just like they loved Krishna. So Balaram, he began to reflect upon the scene. What's happening here? Am I seeing some bewilderment caused by some Rakshasi? No, impossible. I'm Balaram. No one can bewilder me. Then Krishna tapped him on the shoulder and let him know what was going on. So Brahma, he's amazed by this. This Krishna was fully satisfied by the milk coming from the breasts of the gopis and the udders of these cows. So fully satisfied that the same satisfaction for him was not attained by all the Vedic yajnas since time immemorial. The satisfaction the Lord got from the Stanyamrita, the nectarian breast milk and udder milk, that satisfaction could not be equaled by all the Vedic yajnas since who can remember? What else did Lord Brahma exclaim about? First, the cows and the ladies who fed Krishna their milk. Then, what about Nanda Gopa, the cowherd man, and the other residents of Vrindavan? Lord Brahma exclaimed, Ahobhagyam, Ahobhagyam, Nanda Gopa Vajalkasam. Yan Mitram Paramanandam, Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. Oh, how fortunate is Nanda Maharaj. Oh, how fortunate are the cowherd men and the others in Vrindavan who had a friendly relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the absolute truth, the highest bliss, the Om Purnam, the complete, perfect whole. They had this non-official relationship. He's not referring to Sakya Rasa. He's referring when he says they had him as their friend in terms of non-awe and reverence relationship, non-official relationship. So Lord Brahma exclaimed twice, Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam. Oh, what great fortune. How could this be attained? And then he presented himself. What do I want? It's not true that devotees don't want anything. Devotees are full of desires. Devotees are full of quests. They just have the right desires and the right quests. Brahma said, just let me be born anywhere, in any species, even the animal species, as long as I'm a devotee. That is the desire of Lord Brahma. Then he noted that maybe I can take birth somewhere in Vrindavan as a blade of grass or even a stone on the path where the residents of Vrindavan walk. And then upon my head will fall the particles of dust from their feet. We notice in this way that Brahma is not aspiring directly for the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. He's aspiring for the dust from the feet of the Lord's devotees. Let me be in position to get that. And of course, as Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, Brahma then said, all right, if I can't take birth as a blade of grass or a stone in Vrindavan, let me be just outside Vrindavan. So when the Brijvasis walk outside of Braj, still I'll get the dust from their lotus feet. Brahma then concluded his exclamation saying, my mind is bewildered. My mind is boggled at what greater reward could there be than what Krishna has given here in Vrindavan. It's impossible for any greater benediction. The Lord, He's the embodiment of all benedictions. There's no greater reward than what He's giving. Yet, although that's true, I see He gave Himself to Putana just because she disguised herself as a devotee. What's He going to have left for the other residents of Vrindavan? He gave Himself to Putana. This is how great His mercy is. We can learn so much by meditating on Brahma's wisdom, understanding that Krishna is within this universe, but the universe is within Krishna, and Brahma's praise for the residents of Vrindavan. That same Lord Brahma is now reassuring Devahuti. Everything is going to be all right. Vaishnavas are caring. They're considerate. They are experts in the world of feelings and sensitivity. So Lord Brahma knows, I've got two things to consider here. Devahuti wants to know, how is she going to be taken care of spiritually? And Kardama Muni, he wants to leave home, but he also wants to know that Devahuti is going to be properly taken care of. So Brahma is addressing the situation. Kapila Muni is going to appear. He's going to enlighten Devahuti. He's going to enlighten the whole world. And therefore, Kardama Muni can leave home. So, later we'll hear Kapila Muni speaking to Kardama Muni, explaining again what he's going to do. So, I told you I'm going to appear as your son. And so here I am. I'm always true to my word, both spoken by me directly and in the Shastra. I said I was coming, here I am. In other words, now you can go, Kardama Muni. And the Lord told Kardama Muni directly, don't worry about Devahuti, I shall enlighten her in Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge. Now, an interesting point to meditate on is, why would Kardama Muni want to leave if he's got the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son? You'd naturally think, time to stick around. Enjoy the Lord appearing in your family. But Kardama Muni is demonstrating that one's spiritual duty is the most important thing in all circumstances. It was his duty to leave home. Therefore, even though the Supreme Lord had appeared as his son, he still left, showing that the spiritual duty is how we make advancement. So much so that even if the Lord appears as your son and it is your duty to leave home, you still go. That is Kardama Muni's example. Taking the Vedic instructions as ironclad and getting the blessings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, getting the blessings from Brahma, he could leave home with a free mind. His wife was taken care of. She's getting the best instructor for spiritual knowledge. And Kapila Muni will tell Kardama, go wander the world freely with your mind fixed on me. In this way, we see how Krishna consciousness involves so many good wishes, so many benedictions, and the advice from senior personalities. That's why Brahma is there on the scene. He's giving instructions, marry those 9 daughters to 9 sages. Kapila Muni is here. He's going to do this and that. Now you may go off in this way. This is a Krishna conscious situation in which the best advice is there, in which the best counsel is there and the best association is there. We were speaking a few nights ago in our nighttime gathering how sooner or later, every devotee is going to encounter decisions to make in his or her spiritual life. It may be that for a couple of years or so, you can move along in your devotional service without encountering major decisions. But don't think it's always going to be like that. Sooner or later, there'll come some crossroads. Should I do this service? Should I do that service? Should I be in this ashram? Should I be in that ashram? How do I relate to what's happening around me? How do I understand what's happening around me? In order to make those proper decisions, one needs the best advice, the best counsel. So over the years, I've seen that those devotees who last in Krishna consciousness are the ones who know how to get the best advice. Just like you see this situation here in the Shastra. The situation is jam-packed with the best advisors, the best counselors. Everyone is giving the most sublime instruction. Brahma, Kardama Muni, Devahuti's asking for the most sublime instruction. These are the dynamics of the Krishna conscious world, even on our level. I've seen again and again as the years go by, those devotees who know how to take the best counsel. I mean, the fact is you'll be able to get counsel from anywhere, but what is the value of it? According to who you associate with and get your advice from, that will basically determine your status in Krishna consciousness. If you take advice and counsel from weak devotees, then you'll become a weak devotee. If you take advice and counsel from the strongest devotees, then you have a chance to be a strong devotee. It basically comes down to that. Especially, we can see that here in New Dwarka. Same thing as more than a quarter of a century ago when I was living here. You basically became like who you hung out with and who you, hey, what about this? What about that? And what do you think? What do you think I should do? And what about the authority? What do you think the authority's motives are? And according to who you listen to, that determined how you wound up. And there's no doubt it's going on all the time. That's the way it is, you know. Sangha association. So if you're listening to one kind of kata, your consciousness will be molded in that way. Yeah, I see what you mean. I agree. Yeah, you're right. And if you're associating with another kind of kata, your consciousness will be molded in that way. This is what makes or breaks you. A few nights ago, I was telling an example of myself, how when the BBT came from New York to L.A., at that time, the BBT devotees in New York, the whole New York temple was world famous for being super fired up, super dedicated. New York City, struggle to live there. Unlike California, New Yorkers do acknowledge the existence of the threefold miseries. So, Bhrigupati, of course, remembers, Archita remembers. The temple was such that if someone didn't come to the evening program two nights in a row, you knew the person was blooping. That's what the standard was like. Ooh, yeah. He didn't come two nights in a row to Gita class. She's out of it. And it was true. It so worked out that way simply because the standard was so high, you could immediately detect just the slightest movement in the wrong direction. So anyway, about 30 devotees came out to L.A. for working at the BBT. And I never forget what it was like when we landed in Southern California. Wow. The first reaction of all the 30 devotees was like, whew, where's the strictness we're used to in New York? Where's the, where's the staunchness? What's going on, I can't believe it. Not everybody's coming to the full morning and evening program every day. Not everybody's going on Sankirtan on weekends. But then I watched as the months went by. And gradually, those 30, so many of them began to drift because they started just getting caught up in situations they weren't accustomed to. Oh, really? And those who really got into that and started listening to this, listening to that, I could see gradually they began to veer off. They weren't ready to handle it. They were, I guess you could say, we were like gurukulis trained in a real strict system. And then we came out to Southern California and like our minds were just blown, Why worry about going to Mangalartik every morning? Just have organic fruit juice and you'll be all right. I was also starting to get affected. Every time I walk up Watsika Avenue, someone would pull me over. Did you hear what happened to the authority in Africa?
Did you hear what happened to the authority in Argentina? Did you, you know, everybody, you know, had the complete world news wrap up, and the whole point was, you can't trust anybody, you know. Just kind of practice Krishna consciousness on your own. That's the mature way. If you're lucky, get out of L.A. and go to Laguna Beach. If you're even more lucky, get out of Laguna Beach and go to Hawaii. No, this is what it was like. So I was hearing all these things, and I was starting to get real doubtful and cynical. Ooh, I wonder what the authorities' motives are. I wonder what the TP is really thinking. And the persons I were hanging out with, they were always talking like that. And so I noticed, after a few weeks, I started to drift. And so, some or other, by Krishna's grace, I caught myself that time. I said, I don't want to be like this. This is not the way I want to go. So I said, one devotee from India, Haridas, I think Prabhupada's first Indian disciple, more or less, he came to L.A. and he gave a lecture about how Prabhupada told him, why are you chasing me all around trying to be in my physical association? Go to any temple, bow down before my Vyasa. I'm there. So I said, this could be the way out of my predicament. So I came to the temple every day and bowed down before Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. And when there was nobody here, like 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, and I begged Prabhupada, please, do something about my consciousness. You know, I'm getting overwhelmed, you know, by Southern California. I'm getting affected. And I was shocked to notice in 3 days, my whole consciousness completely changed. I was just amazed. I mean, all I did was crash down before Prabhupada's Vyasa-san and beg him. And after a few days, the whole problem lifted. So I understand, after observing for quite a few decades now, how things work. You have to make some decisions. You have to go through your life's milestone events. And you'll do it according to who you listen to. You can judge in advance. You'll basically be able to tell where you're going in the future, right now, according to who you're listening to now. Everybody takes advice. Everyone has to make decisions. Don't fool yourself that it's not going to happen to you. It happens even in Braj. What happened after the Damodar Leela? When the cowherd men heard the crash of the Yamala Arjun trees, they came running. What's this? Thunderbolts? What's going on? They came to the scene, and they saw these trees crash down, and baby, little Krishna tied to this grinding mortar. And the cowherd men, they were completely bewildered. Oh, no. Krishna could have been killed. And how did this happen? We're seeing with our own eyes the situation, but we can't understand how it happened. And, of course, the little cowherd boys, they told the truth. We know. We've seen it with our own eyes. Krishna did it, no doubt about it. Not only did the trees fall down because of Krishna, but also two shining men came out of the trees. We've seen it all. But the cowherd men, as you know, they were overwhelmed by paternal affection. Krishna couldn't have done that. He's just a little boy. But a few of them began to think, well, the child was predicted by Gargarishi to be equal to Narayan. He just might have done it. It could have been possible. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj immediately addresses the situation by untying Krishna. Nanda Maharaj is smiling. Oh, Mother Yashoda, how could you have done this to your boy? He wasn't really being naughty. He was trying to exchange love with you. Nanda Maharaj was going to stick up for Krishna. It might have looked like mischief, but it was just his way of exchanging love. So Nanda Maharaj unties Krishna. So from that came decision time. Upananda, the older brother of Nanda Maharaj, decided, we've got to consider this situation. We're going to have to make a decision. Ever since we've been here in Gokul, there's been one disturbance after another. Then he began to recite the list of disturbances, all the demons who attacked. And now, what do we have? We have these trees falling down, undoubtedly caused by a demon. In all the situations, God has saved Krishna. But we just can't linger here and watch these things happen again and again. We have a responsibility. It's decision time. I advise that we move from this spot. There is a very beautiful place called Vrindavan where the grasses are fresh. The cows will benefit. We'll all benefit. Krishna will be safer there. I advise that we go. This was the advice of Upananda, giving counsel. And what was the cowherd men's response? Sadhu, sadhu, so nicely spoken, let's go. Immediately, that same day, they packed up their carts and traveled to Vrindavan. The ladies were on their carts, singing the glories of Krishna and Rohini and Yashodamayi were on their own cart, and they were each holding their little children. And while the carts were moving towards Vrindavan, they were staring in the beautiful faces of Krishna and Balaram and telling them stories. And then they reached Vrindavan, and Krishna and Balaram were so happy. They looked around, they saw Govardhan Hill. They looked around, they saw the bank of the Jumna River. They looked around, they saw the forest of Braj, and they were so happy and satisfied. This was the result of Upananda's advice, and the cowherd men, they took that advice, showing that at all levels of our spiritual life, even in the spontaneous leelas of Goloka Vrindavan, advice and counsel is going on. Brahma's giving advice here to Devahuti. Brahma has given advice to Kardama Muni. The Lord himself, Kapila Muni, is going to give advice. Now you may go, Kardama Muni. Yes, I give you permission to renounce and leave. Your wife will be well taken care of. We have to see. What kind of advice am I getting? Who are my counselors? Now, don't make the mistake of thinking your advisor is only the person you talk to when you make your, maybe, semi-annual trip to the temple president's office to ask for some advice. No, you've got persons around you every day, and you are listening to them. You bounce things off of them. So don't be afraid to take a look at that and hear, analyze what your friends, acquaintances in Krishna consciousness are saying, because that is going to shape your future. And according to the quality of that counsel and advice, even though it seems so informal, you'll make up your mind. You may even go speak to a senior devotee. You may go speak to the temple president, sannyasi, this one, that one. But what are you going to do when you get back? You all know what you're going to do. You know what he said to me? What do you think? I mean, what's your angle? I mean, is he just motivated? I mean, does he just want me to do devotional service or what? You know? I mean, does he really understand my situation? And according to your friends and acquaintances, you'll get, you know, your input. Yeah, I see what you mean, right? Yeah, I knew it. He just wants me to do devotional service. That's why he told me that. So take a careful look at your life and understand for sure you're going to have to make decisions. These decisions went on in Krishna Leela. Krishna even took advice. He had Uddhava, who's known as Mantri, the advisor of the Lord. So, according to the quality of your advice, that will show where we wind up. So let us all pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada, and his representatives, that we can always be in contact with the best Krishna conscious advice, the best Krishna conscious guidance and feedback. Then our path back to Godhead will be very easy. So any questions? So ask for it.
That's a very interesting point about advice. I was reading this one particular article, and it was a mundane article, of course, but it stated that they found that most children that grow up in a family, that they take 90% of their advice from their friends and about 10% from their parents. Mm. So they found out that a lot of bad habits, drugs, illegal activity, all this is actually acquired knowledge from their friends on a daily basis. And that when they would come home, very rarely would they want to take any advice from their parents. So what I'm trying to say is that the points that you're making are very, very good in the sense that a lot of us do not want to take advice from those people that we should take advice, but you actually take advice from those people that we shouldn't be taking advice. And they found that that's to be true even on the mundane platform in the material world. Hmm. So thank you very much.
Any other questions? Yes.
I heard that Lord Brahma became, is it Varshana? Mount Varshana?
Oh, these details. Deeper and deeper. After the Brahma Vimohana Lila, Lord Brahma, once he offered his prayers, he asked Krishna, excuse me, I should be leaving now, because he felt out of place in Vrindavan. So he left, and the Lord smiled or didn't say anything, but still Brahma knew, I shouldn't be here. I should get back to my devotional service. My service is more important than directly associating with the Lord. So there's countless examples in all the shastras about how Lord Brahma would taste the nectar of Braj. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, when he's extolling the inconceivable good fortune of the residents of Vrindavan, what does Brahma say? He said, actually, besides the elderly gopis and cows who gave Krishna their milk, besides Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd man, we, the 11 presiding deities of the senses, are also fortunate because when the residents of Vrindavan get the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, they're using their senses. So their senses are like the cups by which we can drink the honey beverage from Krishna's lotus feet, because we're the presiding deities of the senses. So everybody gets something. Anything else? Yes.
One is the super soul and the other one is the spiritual master. So I was thinking yesterday how I know that the super soul can act, or Krishna acts as the super soul through other persons. How are we to know when it's the super soul's advice that we're actually being given?
Yes. A devotee is cautious. Tesham satyuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. The Lord will talk to you in the heart, but he says, only if you are rendering constant devotional service with priti, affection. That is the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. It doesn't mean that Krishna will never say anything as super soul in your heart, but a devotee is cautious. Am I on that priti platform? Therefore, let me be a little hesitant before I say, the Lord in my heart told me to do such and such. And to protect us from going off this way or that way, we have our spiritual master, we have the association of Vaishnavas. And once again, according to who you hang out with, that's what you're going to decide. Yeah, it was Krishna telling me to marry her. No. It was Krishna saying, no, don't do it. It's all going to basically depend on who you're talking to. Because even if you approach an authority, you're going to take what that authority says and bounce it off your friends. Generally, that's the case. If you have a deep relationship with a senior devotee, with your spiritual master, it is possible to take that advice and it overrides everything. Still, I have seen over the years, according to your association, that's going to shape your life. So one should be hesitant before saying, Krishna's talking in my heart. Take guidance from not only the voice within, but also the voices without. And then you'll be safe. Anything else? All right.
Just in that regard, as also from what you were saying in the class, that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that there are three processes that we have to go through in order to understand things. One is submission, The other is inquiry, and the third is service. Therefore, if we want to understand what Krishna wants us to do, first of all, we have to inquire from him. We don't have that inquisitiveness, what Krishna wants us to do, and why will Krishna tell us what to do? In fact, he won't tell us what to do. And then we have to be submissive. The inquiry also has to be submissive with the idea that if he does tell us what to do, we're not going to say, wait a second, that's not what I wanted to do. We didn't really ask you to tell us really what you wanted to do. We wanted to ask you to tell us what we wanted to do. So we actually have to be submissive to what Krishna wants us to do. And then we have to, in order to actually realize it, we have to be prepared to render service. Then if we do that, then it will become clearer whether or not this is what really what Krishna wanted us to do or not, or whether or not this is what Krishna didn't want us to do. Therefore, we'll learn from that. And one time I asked Srila Prabhupada that question. That was, of course, in 1969. I said, Srila Prabhupada, if Krishna wants me to do something as super soul, and if Krishna doesn't want me to do something as a super soul, how will I know what Krishna wants me to do? So Prabhupada started to laugh. And he said, you won't know what to do. You'll do the wrong thing.
He wasn't very new agey, was he?
And then Prabhupada gave me this, everyone was laughing in the room, and Prabhupada gave me this look of compassion, which was like incredible, you know, just to make sure that I didn't get this too disturbed from it. But the point is, in our present state, how we actually know what Krishna wants us to do. We can't really know, but we'll learn from experience at least. If we go through the proper process of submission, service, and inquiry, as you said, to the right sources, his representatives, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
Prabhupati.
Maharaj, you were emphasizing in the class the importance of taking good association in order to get good counsel, but I was just reflecting when you were telling your story about describing your predicament here in Los Angeles. You mentioned how the turning point was when you came into the temple room and you prostrated yourself before Prabhupada and you were praying, and you said within 3 days your consciousness dramatically, drastically changed. So did it end there? I mean, did you go on to get good counsel after that as to what to do next? Or because
I couldn't do book distribution anymore because my body had collapsed, and so I was working at the BBT right across the street, and the book distributors would come by my office every evening, and they would want to hear the latest manuscripts from Prabhupada before they were printed. So I got the best association in that way. And of course, I had many senior Vaishnavas living with me in the same BBT complex. And so, some or other, by Krishna's grace, as Dravida and Archita Prabhus remember, the BBT devotees, we had real tight camaraderie. As much as possible, we were at all the temple programs, except when there was a marathon. We really enforced each other with our sadhana. We reinforced each other. So it was due to that good association. Rashesh Prabhu, he was also living here then. I forgot what service he was doing, but he would come by all the time. And so, I can attribute whatever good I've done to them, and I certainly can't blame them for my mistakes. But as I look back, I can see that definitely we are a creature of our association. On the other hand, I was getting a lot of cynicism or things that blew my mind as a young devotee, because I was one of my best friends, also born in the Bronx, just like me. He was Prabhupada's servant, so he was always blowing my mind with his interpretation of so many things were going on, and I was like, it was high occasion. So, you don't know what's going on, I'll tell you. They're doing this, they're doing that. Here I am, young devotee, woo. So that resulted in me having to come into the temple room and just crash down before Prabhupada. Please, save me. Anyway, some interesting side notes for the older devotees here. All right. All glories to the Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.